So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Idam hi pumsa tapasa shrutasya va svistasya stuktasya cha buddhi datteyo avichchucha artha kavibhi nirupita yat uttama shloka guna anuvarnanam idam hi pumsastapasa tritasya va svishtasya suktasya cha buddhi datteyo avachut yorta kavibir nirupito yad uttama shloka guna nivarnanam idam hupamsastapasa shrutasya va svishtasya suktasya cha buddhi datteyo avichutarta kavibir nirupito yad uttama shloka gunar nivarnanam. Idam tupang sattapata shritasya va Nanavarnanam idam hupam sattapasa shrutasya va svistasya suktasya javuddhi datyayo avichyatarta kavibir nirupito yad uttama shloka gunana varnanam idam hupam sattapasa shrutasya svishtasya suktasya cha buddhi datyayo avichyatarta kavibir nirupito uttama shloka gunana varnanam idam hupam sattapasa shrutasya va svishtasya suktasya cha buddhi datyayo avichyatarta kavibir nirupito yad uttama shloka gunar nivarnanam. Ladies, idam hupam sastapasa shrutasya va svistasya suktasya buddhi datyayo vichyatartarta kavibir nirupito yad uttama shloka gunar nivarnanam idam hupam sattapasa shrutasya va Svistasya suktasya jabuddhi datayo. Avijjati uttarataka vibhirna rupito. Yaduttama shloka gunarna vananam. Nisamshastapasashtritashyava. Svishtasya suktasya jabuddhi datayo. Avichitar tarta vibirna rupito. Yaduttama shloka gunarna varnanam. Idam. This. He. Certainly. Pumsa. Of everyone. Tapasa. By dint of austerities. Shrutasya. By dint of study of the Vedas. Va. Or. Svishtasya. Sacrifice. Shuktasya. Spiritual education. Cha. And. Buddhi. Culture of knowledge. Dattayo. Charity. Avichutya. Infallible. Artha. Interest. Kavibi. By the recognized learned person. Nirupita. Concluded. Yat. What? Uttamashloka. The Lord who is described by choice poetry. Guna anuvarnanam. Description of the transcendental qualities of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerities, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns and charity, culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. Purport. Human intellect is developed for advancement of learning in art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, economics, politics, etc. By culture of such knowledge, the human society can attain perfection of life. This perfection of life culminates in the realization of the Supreme Being, Vishnu. The Shruti therefore directs that those who are actually advanced in learning should aspire for the service of Lord Vishnu. Unfortunately, persons who are enamored by the external beauty of Vishnu Maya do not understand that culmination of perfection or self-realization depends on Vishnu. Vishnu Maya means sense enjoyment which is transient and miserable. Those who are entrapped by Vishnu Maya utilize advancement of knowledge for sense enjoyment. Sri Narada Muni has explained that all paraphernalia of the cosmic universe is but an emanation from the Lord out of His different energies, because the Lord has set in motion by His inconceivable energy the actions and reactions of the created manifestation. They have come to be out of His energy. They rest on His energy, and after annihilation they merge into Him. Nothing is therefore different from Him, but at the same time the Lord is always different from them. When advancement of knowledge is applied in the service of the Lord, the whole process becomes absolute. The personality of Godhead and His transcendental name, fame, glory, etc., are all non-different from Him. Therefore, all the sages and devotees of the Lord have recommended that the subject matter of art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, and all other branches of knowledge should be wholly and solely applied in the service of the Lord. Art, literature, poetry, painting, etc., may be used in glorifying the Lord. The fiction writers, poets, and celebrated literatures are generally engaged in writing of sensuous subjects, but if they turn towards the service of the Lord, they can describe the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Valmiki was a great poet, and similarly Vyasadeva was a great writer, and both of them have absolutely engaged themselves in delineating the transcendental activities of the Lord, and by doing so have become immortal. Similarly, science and philosophy should also be applied in the service of the Lord. There is no use presenting dry, speculative theories for sense gratification. Philosophy and science should be engaged to establish the glory of the Lord. Advanced people are eager to understand the absolute truth through the medium of science, and therefore a great scientist should endeavor to prove the existence of the Lord on a scientific basis. Similarly, philosophical speculations should be utilized to establish the supreme truth as sentient and all-powerful. Similarly, all other branches of knowledge should always be engaged in the service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also the same is affirmed, all, quote, knowledge, unquote, not engaged in the service of the Lord is but nescience. Real utilization of advanced knowledge is to establish the glories of the Lord, and that is the real import. Scientific knowledge engaged in the service of the Lord and all similar activities are all factually Hari Kirtan, or glorification of the Lord. Wow. Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Varakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sajaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine.
So today we are hearing about the learned circles. Where are these learned circles? Who are these learned circles? Those who have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge is to realize Krishna. These are the learned circles. Of course, there are many who advertise themselves as the learned circles. Harvard, Yale, Oxford, Cambridge, etc., etc. We are the learned circles. But that is learned circles in quotes. This is the real learned circles right here, you see. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, They are the young children in the circles, the Goswamis, you see. Our great Acharya is Bhaktivedanta Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padivajakacharja Astatarasadashi Srimad, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Now He's created ISKCON as a learned circle. Yeah, a place where we can gather together, we can hear about Krishna. We can talk about Krishna. We can meditate on Krishna. We can serve Krishna. And we can realize Krishna, you see. This is a real learned circle. It's a very, very interesting purport. Really, really interesting. I was digging into it this morning going, wow, this is amazing purport. Human intellect is developed for advancement of learning in art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, economics, politics, etc. I mean, I studied those in high school and college. I never knew that they were meant for realizing the supreme truth. When I studied economics or chemistry or psychology, I had no idea, you see. The teachers were not enlightened, you see. But if an enlightened teacher of physics or philosophy or chemistry or psychology or economics, you see, is Krishna conscious, they can teach economics in such a way you realize Krishna, you see. Anad bhavanti bhutane parjanya anasambhavaha jagad bhavivya parjanya yagya karma samudbhavaha. That's Vedic economics, you see. If you do yagya, then the rain comes. The whole basis of economics is rain. What good is your money and all your calculations, your stock market and all this stuff, if there's no rain, you see? So the basic principle of economics is rain. So one who actually knows the science of economics can teach anad bhavanti bhutani parjano anasambhavaha. And similarly in every science, you see. In chemistry, bhumira po nalo vayu kang manar bhajayavacha. We understand what are the actual elements in physics. Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate. Everything is coming from Krishna, you see. Philosophy, science. You can take any ism and connect it with Krishna. This is the point. Because actually everything is coming from Krishna. So since everything is coming from Krishna, you can take any one thing and you reconnect that thing with Krishna, it becomes perfect. You understand? Of course, they pollute the whole thing, you see. They call it science, and they say everything comes out of nothing. The ass goes hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-hawking, Stephen hee-hawking. Everything comes out of nothing, you see. And they call that science, you see. But let's analyze it scientifically, you see. Science means observation and experiment, right? You can prove your theory with an experiment, you see. Everything comes out of nothing. Well, that means at least something we must be able to get at least one thing out of nothing, right? I tried it in Kuala Lumpur. I said, I'm going to test Dr. Stephen Hawking's theory. I really like popcorn, so I'm going to do a try it with popcorn, you know. I turned on the stove, took an empty pot, and I went, pop, pop, pop. And no popcorn came out of nothing. If I can't even get popcorn out of nothing, how can I get the whole universe out of nothing? You see what I'm saying? So this is not science. This is nescience. But let's look at the other side of it now. If everything doesn't come out of nothing, then everything must come out of something. But can we prove that? Everything comes out of something. You can take anything and you'll see it came from something. So if you go back to the original something, then you've got the origin of existence. But some may argue, some speculators might argue, actually there's an infinite chain of causality, so there's no original something. It's just an infinite chain of causality. It goes into infinity. But is that reasonable? We can look at it philosophically, scientifically. Is it reasonable to posit an infinite chain of causality? Well, just think of the domino theory. You know, all the dominoes are stacked up in a row, right? And there's an infinite chain of dominoes. but can the dominoes fall on their own? There has to be one domino that can fall on its own that starts the whole thing off, you see. Western theologians call this the unmoved mover. It's actually a brilliant philosophical concept. The unmoved mover, you see. That mover who can make things happen without anything else making him happen, you see. So let us go, you see. So we can analyze these things scientifically, philosophically. You see, Krishna consciousness is not blind faith. It's actually very, very scientific. We have a whole science to prove the existence of that original unmoved mover. But some say, well, but it doesn't have a personality. It doesn't have a form. You see, they argue that. So is that really a scientific understanding, you see? For example, you can hear what I'm saying, can't you? You can see me, right? We can see the deities. We can hear the kirtan. We can taste prasadam. We are sentient beings. We can experience so many things with our senses. So that supreme, the source of all existence, how could it not have what we have, you see? We're all the expanded energy of that original something. So since we have personalities, since we have senses, since we have all these things, how we could possess them if they're not there in the original something? Therefore, the original something must be a personality, you see, a sentient being. So if you look at all this stuff, you know, it's not just some blind faith, you know, fanatics here. We are actually a learned circle. And we have deep philosophical and scientific evidence to support Krishna consciousness. So it's pretty exciting, really, you know. This is the perfection of intellectualism, Krishna consciousness. Perfection of physics, chemistry, psychology, everything. Art, Prabhupada says, art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, everything. Everything becomes perfect when you connect it with Krishna. So, what are we waiting for? We've achieved the perfect position. Now we have to become mature in that, you see. We've understood, I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. I have nothing to do with this material sense gratification. My only real purpose is to please Krishna unlimitedly with my every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. It's time to get down to business, you know, get really serious about this thing. So I think, like Tamal Krishna Goswami, a famous lecture he gave in Dallas years ago, it's time to get serious. Very nice lecture he gave. So really have to get serious, buckle down and get to the real essence of why we're here. We're here actually to revive that original loving feeling we have for that supreme person, that all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-wealthy, all-famous, all-wise person who's the source of everything, who's the energy behind everything that's happening here. The perfect orchestrator of everything is Krishna. And actually, Krishna is orchestrating for every single living entity the opportunity to come back to him as soon as possible. Krishna is not some cruel dictator that you've been naughty, so just go to hell and stay there forever, you rascal. That's not Krishna, you see. Krishna says, here, I want you to come back. Please come back. Please come back. Here's the facility, you see. Here's the holy name. Here's the prasad. Here are the deities. Here's the Srila Prabhupada. Here are the Vaishnavas. Here's full facility, you see. Krishna is giving full facility. So let us now master this art. Just like we have these beautiful paintings here, incredible paintings. Like this one's especially astounding here. Gopal Krishna, it's just amazing, the depth of color. It's just, it's amazing. You feel like, it just doesn't look like a painting. It's just so amazing. So just as this artist has developed this art, we have to develop the art of being Krishna conscious at every minute. When you wake up in the morning, when you're walking across the street, when you're going out to distribute books, when you're going to the altar to offer arti, when you're going to work at a karmi job, when you're everything at every step, we have to master that art. How can I do this in such a way to give unlimited pleasure to Krishna right now, you see? How can I think in such a way that Krishna will go, this, oh, it's so wonderful you're thinking that way. How can I speak in such a way that Krishna will say, oh, it's so wonderful how you are speaking. Thank you very much. How can I engage in my body and activities that Krishna will say, yes, that's wonderful how you're engaging yourself right now. We want to give unlimited pleasure to Krishna every minute. That is Krishna consciousness, you see. We always say water the root of the tree, but the trouble is we're giving some water to the root and water here, water there. We're still splayed out. At least I am anyway. Neophytes like me, you see, we're still splayed out. We're not giving all of it to Krishna. You know, some for my tongue, some for my ears, some for this and that, you see. I can speak as a neophyte devotee myself, you see. I'm not giving it all to Krishna, you see. Therefore, I'm miserable in many ways, you see, because I'm not giving it all to Krishna, you see. And we actually can master this art of giving everything to Krishna at every minute, not holding anything back. Then, what is the result? Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So, the more you give yourself to Krishna, the more Krishna gives himself to you. And Prabhupada explains, actually Krishna reciprocates 10 times more. You see, whatever you give to Krishna, 10 times comes back. It's a pretty good investment, huh? Just imagine a bank account. You put $1 in, you get $10 out. Put $10 in, you get $100 out. Put $100 in, you get $1,000 out. It's a pretty good investment. So the ultimate investment is Krishna consciousness. Because whatever you put into it, you get 10 times more out of it. So therefore, we should really become very serious now to give everything to Krishna. Not holding anything back. Absolutely everything to Krishna. You see? It's amazing what happens when one does that, as Prabhupada explains. One of the most astounding purports in all of Prabhupada's books, at least for me, he says that when one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, he becomes Jagat Guru, and under his influence, the whole world takes up the chanting of Hare Krishna. Wow. I mean, there's that much impact just by Shuddha Nam? By Shuddha Nam, one can actually inspire the whole world to become Krishna conscious. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Just by pure chanting of the holy names, you can influence the whole world to become Krishna conscious. So that tells us, get serious about becoming a pure chanter of the holy name. Get very serious about it, you see. Because Krishna manifests himself to the pure chanter, and that pure chanter is empowered to make the whole world Krishna conscious. That is the great power of pure chanting of the name. So if we take this process very seriously, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. There's no limit to how much we can become ecstatic. We can actually come to that point where, as Prabhupada ordered me in one letter, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Wow, it's a pretty heavy order. I got a long way to go. I still see the material energy out there. I don't see Krishna yet. But Prabhupada ordered me to become qualified to do that. You see, to be able to see Krishna face to face. So, is it possible? Sure. Is it difficult? For me, it is. But actually, for the self-realized soul, it's a piece of cake. Because he purely chants Krishna's name, and Krishna becomes manifest to him. You see. So this process is indeed, as we say, simply wonderful. That famous, we all have heard that many times, I guess. Nanda Kishore asked Prabhupada, what happens when we give somebody a simply wonderful on the street? Prabhupada said he will eat that wonderful sweet and he will come to your temple and he will become Jai. Simply wonderful. And this process is simply wonderful and you are all simply wonderful. Prabhupada told us. And then our godbrother said, Prabhupada is simply wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right. I have kirtan. Big, huge kirtan exploded. A simply wonderful kirtan. So we've been blessed by the Simply Wonderful process. How simply terrible people like me can become simply wonderful. You see? How that we can make this whole world simply wonderful. We can spiritualize the whole world, actually. And we can spiritualize the whole world. Or at least we can try. I mean, Prabhupada ordered us. He said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Wow. Deliver the whole world, Prabhupada? Yes, he said, deliver the whole world. He said, directly said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Wow. So, is it possible? We can hardly deliver ourselves if we're thinking about delivering the world. But yes, with the order of the spiritual master comes the power to carry it out. And even if we're not successful, at least we'll go back to Godhead. Another wonderful quote, Prabhupada says, a Krishna-conscious being is always planning how to deliver the suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also become perfect. That's a pretty high definition of what it means to be Krishna-conscious. A Krishna-conscious being is always planning how to deliver the suffering humanity back to Godhead. That's why when Savas asked me how I was doing this morning, he said, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not Krishna conscious yet. Because I'm not always planning how to live with the world. I'm thinking, where's my sense gratification? Where can I sleep? Where can I eat? I'm not there yet. But actually, when one actually comes to that position, the true, full definition of being Krishna conscious, you're always can totally absorb, how can I deliver these fallen souls back to Krishna? How can I liberate them from this horrible entanglement in birth and death? How can I bring them back to their constitutional position? You see, that's the burning desire in the heart of great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, you see. Burning desire in the heart, you see. So that's the actual standard of being Krishna conscious, as Prabhupada describes. So we can pray that someday, maybe I can, someday Krishna, please bless me, I can be fully absorbed in this moon of giving Krishna, giving Krishna, giving Krishna to all the fallen souls. How to flood this planet with these books. How to flood the planet with Harinam Sankirtan. How to flood the planet with Prasadam. How we can come to the point where every high court judge in every country in the whole world, even the Muslim countries, is wearing Vaishnava tilak. Wow. It's a big order, huh? Well, let's try for it. Let's try to save the world. Let's try to make this whole world Krishna conscious. Actually, we pray it every morning. I was so enlivened when I found this out in the Bhagavatam purport in the fifth canto. Prabhupada describes the meaning of Bahir Nisinga Hridaye Nisinga. Bahir Nisinga Hridaye Nisinga is literally Nisinga without, Nisinga within. But Prabhupada explains what that actually means. May Lord Nisringadev, he describes, may Lord Nisringadev dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities so that my mind becomes completely clean and I can bring peace to the entire world. Wow. We're actually praying to become world deliverers, self and world deliverers, every time we chant Nisringa prayers. Pretty powerful stuff. I'm praying that I can become Krishna conscious. I'm praying I can make the world Krishna conscious. You see? Bahir Nisinga Hridaye Nisinga. You see? We should understand what we're chanting. We sing that every morning. Bahir Nisinga Hridaye Nisinga. Nisinga within, Nisinga without. May Krishna be fully manifest in here and fully manifest all over the world. Krishna consciousness. So we have a few minutes left. Figure I might ask for some questions here. You can be my hearing aid. Bhakti Vatsala, you can sit here because I can't hear that well. Any question? There's a question. Oh, there's a mic, but still I may not be able to make it out. Yeah. That Mataji there.
Thank you for a very nice class. In 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the qualities of a brahmana are described. And in the purport, Prabhupada says that a brahmana does not have time to earn his livelihood. And I was wondering, because Prabhupada doesn't go into any detail in the purport about that. I was wondering, why does he say like that?
Let me make up what he said. Oh, the Brahman is so busy in studying and teaching the Vedic wisdom that he's fully absorbed in them. Of course, we may have to now, in this particular time, the Brahman may have to work a job, for example. Prabhupada even, our Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he was formerly a grihastha in, I think it was Montreal. He was working a job. And Prabhupada is saying it's not that he's a shudra because he's working a job. So one may have to work a job because of the present day economic situation. In Vaishnava culture, just like you have school teachers now, you see, in the Vaishnava culture, the Brahmins are the teachers. And that just by teaching, everything is there. They teach and the students bring the dakshina and that covers all their needs. You see, just like Raghari the hunter, he was less than a shudra, he became a brahmana by the mercy of Narada Muni. And he gave up his livelihood as a hunter. And Narada Muni said, don't worry, you just go there, you and your wife worship the Tulsi, and I will send all of your eatables. And everyone came, oh, this hunter has now become a great sadhu. They went to hear him, they would bring bhoga. So many offerings of fruits and grains and rice and dal and flour. So they didn't have any worry about their necessities. So that's the actual invaded culture. The Brahmins don't have to do anything else except teach. Everything else comes just by their teaching. But because of the Kali Yuga, now an emergency situation, one Brahmin may have to go out and become a computer engineer just to get a place to live, you see. It's an emergency situation in the Kali Yuga. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I was just sometimes at the temple, we have our brahmanas are engaged in helping to raise money to continue the deity worship, to make sure that it's well supported. And sometimes it works really well, and then sometimes the brahmanas become contaminated because they become interested in the fruits of it. But sometimes it works really well, and the temple is very well supported by a program like that. So I'm just wondering how... I have doubt. I know this is managerial decisioning that I'm talking about, so it's none of my business, but sometimes...
Let me catch up, because I'm catching any of it. Hardly any of it. What is it? Oh, the question hasn't come yet. Okay.
Sometimes I have wondering how much devotees should be engaged in earning money to support the deity worship if it's going to distract
needful.
Them from the deity worship.
The question is, do the needful. Whatever is needed to be done, you do them. You see? Do the needful. Just like I was a brahmachari for 14 years, living in the ashram. And then I got married, and they said, well, and in the old days, all the householders were supported by the temple. In the early days of ISKCON, they all lived in, we had, just like in Houston, we had the three floors. We had the temple room on the first floor, we had the brahmacharis on the second floor, and the householders on the third floor. Brahmacharis used to call it Never Never Land, the third floor. So everybody was supported by the temple. It was a kind of economy. But then I remember when Tamal Krishna goes home, he said, no, the householders should not be supported by the temple. They should support the temple. They should all go out and get jobs. And I got married just at that time. I said, okay, I'm going to do my duty. I never worked a job in my life, practically. I was a hippie, singer, songwriter, character, hitchhiking around before I became a devotee. I never really worked. So it was a whole thing for me to go out and I went to a computer control data institute. I learned how to do some computer programming, got an entry-level programming job. And I was enlivened. I'm doing my duty to support the temple. And we were very Krishna conscious. Even the first job I got, I was working the night shift from 11 a.m. until 8 a.m. Oh, my God, what happens to Mangalarti? But my boss said, you know, nobody likes this shift. You can take a long lunch break, but you don't mind. So at 4 o'clock, I'd head out my lunch break, pick up my wife at the apartment, go to the Mangalarti, the temple, and at 5 o'clock, go back and finish my shift. So the thing is, if you're really determined to be Krishna conscious, you'll do the needful. Even if you had to go out and get a stupid karmi job, you'll do it to support the temple. And I was Krishna conscious. Wow. As a brahmachari, I was Krishna conscious. As a house daughter, I was Krishna conscious. And then later on, we find out I was get by with a part-time job. I started selling MCI long distance, only 4 hours a day, you see. So, and then later on, I figured out how I didn't have work anymore. Now I don't work a job anymore. I'm just traveling and preaching all over the world. So the thing is, you do, but the ideal thing is just to preach full time. But if you can't do that, you work full time and preach part time. And then if you can go to part time working and full time, you know, you do the best you can. And understand, Krishna has arranged this for me at this time in my life. This is part of my purification. I took it as part of my purification to go out there and work with those karmis. It's my purification. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for keeping us on your world tour schedule. Very nice to have you here. Nice class. Thank you.
I'm absolutely delighted to be here. It's just, I can't say how much I'm alive and to be with all these wonderful Vaishnavas.
Your answer was more from the personal point of view, how devotees should conduct themselves in terms of household life and raising money. But her question was based on an institutional viewpoint.
Let me catch up with what you said. Speak a little louder than you were. Institutional scale.
Yeah. So the institutional viewpoint has already been laid out. Everything that we need to follow is already laid out. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said... Yeah, Srila...
You're going to tell us about Bhaktisiddhanta.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, and Srila Prabhupada followed that edict, that we don't flatter rich people just to get money for supporting the temple. We just preach. And if we preach purely, they will be inspired to give money. So I think that approach is going on here. I don't see where we're deviating from that here in New Dwarka. The devotees preach book distribution. They preach to the congregation, give money to help support distribution and the temple. Now, of course, in any stage of life, you're going to have some neophytes who become more attracted to the fundraising than the Krishna conscious part of it. But that's where the leaders come in. The leaders have to keep track of their money collectors and make sure they're not becoming contaminated. That possibility is always there. So, but you can't stop raising funds just because somebody might get contaminated. The fundraising has to go on.
Yes, fundraising must go on. I caught that last line. Fundraising must go on.
Yeah,
yes, the temple needs money. That's true. We do have to do whatever we have to. And you can't let the temple... You got to get the lights. You got to, you know... Yeah, we have to pay the bills. It's a bit. We have to be practical. Prabhupada said, do the needfuls. Individually and as an institution, we have to do the needful. Just like in the early days, they were just going out and... what was it? Yeah, Jayananda was supporting the whole temple just by driving the taxi cab. The Prabhupada said, this isn't fair. All the brahmacharis should go get jobs. All the brahmacharis went and got jobs to support the temple. And then Tamal Krishna goes home. He figured out how they could just go out and do chanting and collection. And he wanted to get out of that job. He hated the job. He figured out how they could just go out and do some kirtan and collect donations and get as much money as working the jobs. So you just do the needful, you know, whatever the situation is. This movement has to be funded, so whatever we require to do them. The ideal thing is book distribution. Prabhupada always told us that. Through congregational preaching and book distribution, we can fund the whole thing, really. Yes. In favor of being what? That's if they did, that's according they have to work out mind with the temple management. Somebody would just rather serve the deities full time, and the temple needs somebody to do that service, and the temple can maintain them, and it's beautiful. Yeah, then you just talk to the. Ideally he does, but Prabhupada confirmed that Gopal Krishna Das Adhikari was a Brahmin, even though he was working as a Sudra. In the early, you can read that in the letter book. So it's just a matter of doing, if one's in, would rather not work a job and you're willing to do full-time deity service, talk to the temple management. Because they need someone to cover the deity service. Formerly, they would do ritualistic ceremonies and people would pay them, give some dakshina for doing that. Yeah. So ask Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. On this particular point, I don't think anybody here has the nerve to say that they're a real pure brahmana. Is somebody going to stand up here and tell me they're a real brahmana? I'd have to have 26 qualities of a brahmana. So we're talking about this idea of a brahmana.
But we would like to be pure brahmana.
We're actually Vaishnavas.
Yeah, there you go.
That's more than a brahmana. We're not some smart brahmana. That's all we're going to do is just a puja all day. And then we're going to go home and chant japa or something. We're actually Vaishnavas. Our position is to serve Krishna, and we need to do whatever we have to do in order to make Krishna consciousness go on in the world and in our temple. And whatever the spiritual master wants us to do, we do. And whatever authority wants you to do, you do if it's in line with Srila Prabhupada wants to do. So this idea of a brahmana, if you want to be a brahmana, then go home and be a brahmana. And try to figure out the 26 qualities or whatever. But my understanding is that a devotee takes on the position of a brahmana to get purified. But after that purification, one is a Vaishnava. And that is above a brahmana and the way a brahmana thinks. He's a Vaishnava. He believes in serving the Lord, and whatever the Lord wants, they'll do. This is what I was trained.
Yeah, beautiful. A Vaishnava can act in any capacity. He can act like a Brahmin, a Kshatriya. Even there was that Parasaram was actually a Brahmin, but he acted like a Kshatriya, isn't it? Yeah. So a Vaishnava can act in any capacity, whatever is favorable for pleasing Krishna and Guru. That's a very good point. He's higher than Brahmin. But actually, that makes him automatically a Brahmin, even if he's acting externally as a Shudra, Vaishya, or a Kshatriya. He's actually a Brahmin. The highest Brahman is the Vaishnava. He's fixed in Brahman, in Krishna consciousness. Very good point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was working. He was an employee of the British government. My God.
he was
acting as a sudra, as an employee. Yeah.
He even collected money to have festivals, Srila Bhakti Saranta Maharaj. And he would drive around in a Cadillac convertible or Mercedes convertible vehicle. He used to wear very good clothing, turban, everything in order to just engage people to come and do something for Krishna consciousness. And when he had a festival, he would have people that would swallow swords, that would swallow fire, that would do all kinds of things that were just completely, innovative in India. Just unheard of for a devotee or a brahmana to do this. A brahmana wouldn't even be seen there. What to speak of other things. But the point being is that, yes, if we don't learn how to do everything for Krishna, then how will Krishna consciousness go on? we can't completely depend on everybody all the time to do everything for us. It doesn't work that way. Srila Prabhupada didn't depend on everybody. He himself pushed on this Krishna conscious movement practically single-handedly. And he did everything. Everything that was necessary to do, he did.
Yeah, in the beginning, Prabhupada did everything. He would collect the money. He would go shopping to buy the boga. He would cut the vegetables. He would put them in the pot. He would spice them. He would stir them. He would offer them. He'd serve out the feast. One devotee in the early days at 26 Second Avenue, he said, "I wonder who's helping Swamiji in the kitchen." He went in there and Swamiji was all alone doing the whole thing by himself. And then he volunteered to help Prabhupada wash the dishes at the inn, and Prabhupada was so pleased. Somebody spontaneously came forward to help him do that, you see. So it's a fact of a pure devotee, anyone who's following, sincerely following the footsteps of our great pure devotee, founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, will be willing to do whatever is required at every minute to see that this movement is successful. It's a fact.
Srila Bhaktivinoda was a magistrate, and he had a job. He was actually a judge. He had a job. He went and made money. He worked, to support his family. And in fact, he was actually criticized by the Brahmanas. And at one particular point, Srila Bhattasaranta Maharaj had to represent Bhaktivinoda Maharaj in order to help the Brahmanas understand what it is to be a Vaishnava. Because the Brahmanas in those days were simply absorbed in doing their rituals and collecting funds for the rituals. So the idea is that a Vaishnava, it goes beyond that particular ritualistic ceremonies. It goes beyond that just being a Brahmana. He's a Vaishnava. He'll do whatever it takes to serve Krishna.
Jai. Vaishnava Dharma Ki Jai. So I guess we'll stop here. And we thank you all very, very much for attending Bhagavatam class. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Check.
She said that the connection came down.
Oh, the connection down. Hare Krishna.
I think I was a little misunderstood.
Yeah, well, my hearing aid isn't very good either. My hearing is imperfect, so I apologize whatever I miss. I'm trying, but the hearing aids are not perfect.
I was just wondering if someone's a Brahmana and the prophet says they don't have people under the light of the why is it that they don't have time to earn
in the Vedic culture? Well, they are earning their livelihood by automatically, just like Murgari the hunter, and he took up the life of a Brahmana. He gave up his less than Shudra existence. His livelihood automatically came. Because everybody he came, oh, is a great saint, let us go have the darshan. The hunters become a sadhu. Oh, let us go. So his livelihood was automatic. He just sat there and worshipped Tulsi Devi with his wife. He didn't have to earn a livelihood. It came automatically. Maya. He was following his Guru Maharaj's orders. How could it be Maya if he's following Narada Muni's order?
According to what they were saying just now, they're very adamant about becoming a Vaishnava and doing the needful, but sometimes, like, having to do all the needfuls can be very contaminating for some people. They get, like, too wrapped up in it and they get too fluid and then problems
Thing is, one has to, if one is acting under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, he knows that I have to keep my mind always focused in pleasing Guru and Krishna in all times, places, and circumstances. So if someone's getting contaminated, that means they're not trained how to practice Krishna consciousness properly. Understand? They're not properly